You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Wonderful. It is so good. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you to the creative team. Give them a round of applause for leading us in a wonderful time of worshiping the Lord. You know, I say this every week that when we gather on a Sunday, we gather to draw our affection towards Jesus. If you have made the decision to follow Jesus and to love Jesus and to worship Jesus, we do this corporately as a family to worship Jesus together. This is not church. Church is the body of Christ. We are the church. But when we gather as the people of God, we gather to draw our affection, to say, God, by your grace, you've sustained me over the last 7 days and I'm still alive. I'm still here. You could have taken me home last night, but you didn't. And I am alive and I get to worship you with my family and friends. And we worship him together. We pray to him. We sit under teaching of his word. And it's a joy to worship with the 10 a.m. crew, and I look forward to worshiping with the 4:30 p.m. crew later this afternoon. Well, welcome to our Vision Sunday. My name is Bin, and I'm one of the leaders and pastors at Sun Life Church. If this is your first time here, welcome, and you've come on a very, very exciting Sunday. It's a Sunday where I get to share with you the things that God has been speaking to me last year for this year. So every year I spend some time in silence and solitude. I just get away from family and friends and church community, and I just seek the Lord. And I ask God, God, what is it that you want for this church? And I wait upon God, and I fast, and I pray, and I worship God. And God begins to give me this beautiful blueprint of where he's taking our church. And I take it back to my staff and my elders and leaders, and we map and we plan the vision for the next year. And on Vision Sunday, which is today, I have the joy of sharing you the wonderful things that God has been saying to us last year for this year. And then later on, after the sharing of the vision, I'm going to introduce and pray and commission and empower our church leaders. Okay, these are the shepherds, these are the leaders who will help us work towards Vision 2025. Because I'll tell you right now, without the leaders in this church here, I don't think that we can work towards Vision 2025. So I'm going to introduce them to you. They're going to be upstanding. We're going to pray for them. We're going to seek God to empower them for Christian service in the areas of leadership. And I also believe this with all my heart, is that the leaders that we're commissioning today are not the only leaders for 2025. I really believe in faith and by the grace of God, some of you here, God will call you to step up into the area of Christian leadership. And so, you know, I look forward believing that God will do that and God will grow that seed and you will be obedient to the call of God and you will step up into Christian leadership and you together with the current leaders and myself, we get to work towards the vision for this year here. And I look forward to seeing that take place this year. But we will pray for the current leaders later on. And then after that, we're going to celebrate. We're going to stay back. I believe we're going to celebrate the life that we have in Christ. We're going to celebrate the vision for this year with some ice cream. We're going to eat ice cream. I've just come back from Japan. It's cold, and I look forward to eating some ice cream in Australia. All right, so we're going to stay back, and I don't know, but I think there's going to be lots of ice cream for us to enjoy, and if you're calorie conscious, just go for a jog afterward. It'll be okay. And so we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate the life we have as a family, and if you notice a leader that we prayed for, why don't you go over and encourage them and pray with them and, you know, just thank them for their obedience to God's call upon their life. And it's a great time for us to also meet new people as well. There are so many new people. Last night, I had a leadership gathering at the church here last night. And I asked the leaders, and this is my leadership team. I asked them, put up your hand if you spoke to a fellow leader that you've never met before. And I kid you not, around 10 people put up their hand. And they were meeting people for the very first time who happens to be leaders in this church for the last five, 6 years. And so I think it's a great opportunity for us to meet new people and connect and build a community and just celebrate the life that we have. And so that's where we're going today, okay? It's Vision Sunday, commission our leaders and celebrate what God will be doing this year with some ice cream. Okay, if you have your Bible, turn with me now to 1 Peter. This is Peter's letter to the Christians, his first epistle, chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. The vision for this year comes from this passage. Let me read you the word of God. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, the Apostle Peter, he throws a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is a question where the answer is very, very obvious. It's a bit like asking, can you find a Vietnamese who does not like pho or banh mi thịt? And the answer is impossible. That's our bread and butter, right? It's impossible. And so what he says right here, he says, if you Christians, if you do good to those around you, if you bless the people around you, who would harm you, right? Who would object you if you do good? Who would oppose you if you do good? Who would insult you if you do good? See, most people today, right, would be more than happy to be on the receiving end of our kindness. Is that right? I mean, if you're on a bus or a train and you saw an elderly person who did not have a seat and you offered them your seat, I am pretty sure their reply will be, wow, oh, thank you so much. You're so kind for offering me your seat. And I doubt it that they would ever frown at you and say, what are you doing? You know, what's your intention? You're so evil. I don't think that's the case. And that's what Peter says. If you're willing to do good, if you're willing to be a blessing to the people around you, who would harm you? And the answer is probably no one. But then if you look carefully in the text, he goes on to say, in the off chance someone rejects you or opposes you for your work, your good work, if the Christian suffers for their good work, there's insults or complaints or objection or rejection or opposition or even harm. Look what Peter says in the text. I'm not making this up. You are blessed. You see that? If you do good, if you are a blessing to the people around you and you receive hardship and suffering, guess what? That's not failure. That's faithfulness, and you are blessed. A lot of times people say, I wish the Lord would bless me. I wish I'm blessed. I tell you, it's very simple. Do good. And if there is persecution, and if there's hardship, and if there's difficulty, guess what? You're blessed. That's the word of God. That's not me. Jesus once said this in Matthew 5, verses 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You're blessed. The great early church father, Clement of Alexandria, some 120 years after Jesus, I quote him. He says this, the mark of a true Christian or a true follower of Jesus is to suffer for Christ. We are blessed when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We are blessed when we do good, when we do the work of God, we are blessed. So when we suffer, when there is hardship, when it's difficult in doing God's work, you're blessed. You are blessed. And then he goes on in the text. Peter says this, do not be afraid of their threats. Do not be frightened. He He's actually quoting Isaiah 8. If you know Isaiah 8, in Isaiah 8, the prophet is talking about how the Assyrians would invade God's people. And the prophet says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And so Peter takes that and he brings it to the context of the early Christian. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid or frightened with their threats. Just keep doing good. Just keep loving people. Just keep blessing people in the midst of opposition. Why? Because you are blessed. And then he says, in your heart, honor or revere Christ as Lord. It means that when you do good, when you bless the people around you, your heart must be pure. Yeah? There must be no hidden agendas or selfish motives. You want to do this as you honor Jesus. Jesus is the motive. Jesus is the reason for what we do. That's what he says. He says, when you do good to people and there's hardship, don't be afraid. Keep doing it. Keep doing good and make sure your heart is pure. Make sure you honor Jesus. Make sure Jesus is the center of the reason you're doing what you're doing. Just keep Jesus at the focus. And then he finishes off by saying this, now be prepared to give a reason for your action. You notice that? He says, look, be prepared now because people will notice and question the way you live out your days. There has to be something different about the follower of Christ. We must live in a way where we don't just blend in with the culture of this world. We have to live in a way where people would see that we belong to God's kingdom and not the kingdom of this world here. People around us should be asking, I wonder why. I wonder why they would do that. I wonder why they are so, you know, calm. They're not anxious. I wonder why they're always good towards me. And people will question. And Jesus once said this in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, Christianity, if you have made the decision to follow Jesus as a follower of Christ, we are called to be countercultural, distinctive, transformative in the way we live out our days, and people should notice that. We are set apart for the purposes of God, and people should notice that. And if people do not notice that, I think we have to reassess how we're living out our days. Just imagine this, right? Imagine this as an example. You know, you're working in your company or your factory, your firm, and after five years, you've realized that Sally from HR is also a Christian. Wow, you can't believe it. 5 years, you've had like over 1,100 lunches together over the past 5 years, and you realize that Sally is a follower of Jesus, and she worships down the road, and Sally is also surprised and so glad that you're also a follower of Jesus, and you worship down the road. What a great day, amen? That two Christians would come together and realize, wow, we both love Jesus. Now, there's something seriously wrong with that illustration. And I'll tell you why. Because you're called to be salt and light of this world here. It shouldn't take 5 years for people to notice that you follow Jesus. And if that is you this morning, and you realize that all this time out at school or uni or work, no one see that you're following Jesus, my challenge for you this year is that you live in a way where people would realize that there's something different about you, that you're following this Messiah, that your love for the people around you is so infectious and so attractive. It's so obvious that they go, I wonder why you're like that. And they ask you, why are you like that? Now, Timothy Keller, he says this about the true follower of Jesus. He says, they are a people who live out the values of the kingdom, that's the kingdom of God, in a way that is both attractive and challenging to the world. We have to live like that. So we've just come back from Japan, and I caught up with Gary. Gary is a pastor, a missionary. Here's a picture of Gary here. Gary is pastoring in Tokyo. He's originally from Singapore, and he's been there for 5 years. He's got a heart to reach the Japanese people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my connection with Gary was that 15 years ago, when Gary was a student in Perth, I was his pastor before I planted Sun Life Church. So we reconnected, and after spending some time, you know, at Gary's church, I preached at his church, and I spent some time with him. My two boys, Oliver and Cameron here, right, tells me that Gary is now their favorite Christian. Yeah, Gary has more aura points than me. You know, that's right, that's what they say, you know. And they say things like, Gary is so kind to our family, and he's so generous with his time, and he is so sacrificial, you know, leaving Singapore for the last 5 years and living in Japan, serving the people here. Gary's the best. He's my favorite Christian. And every time they made a comment, I just kind of felt smaller and smaller and smaller. But you see, listen carefully. When you live intentionally to do good, to bless the people around you, to live as salt and light in this world, people cannot help it but feel blessed. And they will begin to ask questions and say things like, why are you so kind? Why do you always care for me? Why are you always there for me? And I believe when people ask those questions to us, it's a blessing. When they ask those questions, why? Tell me why. That is a blessing, because then, as Peter says in verse 15, we get to answer their query. In verse 15, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you. Why? How come you're always doing good? How come you're always calm and not anxious? How come you're always there for me? He says, Peter says, to give them the reason for the hope that you have. We have an eternal hope. We have a hope in a Savior who came to live the life that we could not live, to die the death that we ought to die. And because of His death and resurrection, we have been purchased by His blood. And that is our hope, not a hope in this world, but a hope in Jesus, which is eternal. And Peter says, you get a chance to share that hope. But notice what he says, do it with what? Gentleness and respect. Yeah? We share it with love. We share it with gentleness and respect. You can't be loving people, right, and doing good to people, and when they ask us about the gospel, you go into aggressive mode. You can't do that. Who does that? You don't do that. You have to be gentle. You have to be loving. And I believe that is where God is taking our church this year here. So the vision for our church this year, as a community of Christ follower in 2025, is to be intentionally doing good. Living as salt and light, blessing the people around us, creating these ripples of love. Every time we do good, it's like a ripple. And as we create ripples of love, loving one another here, loving our community, each act of love creates a ripple. You know, as you do good, as I do good, as we do good, we create these ripples of love. And we let God do what He does with these ripples of love, because one of these days, people will ask, why? Why would you do that? Why would you always be there for me? Why would you always care? We don't even know each other, but yet you would offer that service towards my family. Why? And we are prepared to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Ripples of love is the phrase that we will use this year to remind us that we are called to live radically, loving the people, not just only in the four walls of Sun Life Church, but beyond Sun Life Church, to be sacrificial, even if the good works is in the face of opposition and suffering, we will keep doing it because we are blessed. We are blessed because we get to serve the people in our community. And as we begin to share God's love, I pray, in God's grace, He will draw many to Him. That's where we're going this year here. So throughout this year, with the teaching of the Bible, as we learn the book of Ecclesiastes together, we're going to understand the meaning of life. The life is not just about accumulation and wealth and achievement, but there's more to life than that. It is to be a blessing to those around us. As we study the book of Titus, we realize that doctrine and devotion goes hand in hand. That as you begin to go deeper in the doctrines of God, your devotional life will be beautiful, fruitful, as you serve and love the people around you. So ripples of love is where we're going this year here. So let me give you some practical things that we can do to create ripples of love this year and that you'll be seeing throughout this year. Number one is that we can create ripples of love as we bless our friends, especially people who may not know Jesus. We can invite them over for a meal. We can have them over to our house and we can just bless them. No strings attached. Just be there for them. You may also maybe host Christmas street parties. It's an opportunity just to love people. You might drop meals. Whatever the Spirit of God is speaking to you about loving your neighbor, loving the people on your street. They say that a lot of Aussies, right, we don't even know the names of the people that we live next to. Maybe that's you today. And the challenge for you is to love your neighbor. Ripples of love. Inviting them over for a meal, blessing them with gifts, whatever it is. Number two, we can create ripples of love as we continue to bless our Leaderville community. This is a wonderful community here. Do you know that every Friday morning, we have people waiting outside the church building before 9:30 a.m. for us to open the doors for them to come into our playgroup? We've got the biggest playgroup in WA right now. People just coming and just loving the rhyme time and just the morning tea. And we want to keep loving our community. I spoke to a mother who said to me on Friday, she said, you know what? There was something missing every Friday morning during the school holidays. And I was counting down to the day that the playgroup recommenced. I'm going, wow, what a blessing that we get to bless our community. And for some of you right now, God is speaking to you as you can create ripples of love to love the leader of the community via our Tiny Treasures playgroup. As we build relationship and friendship with these beautiful people in our community and let them, as the Spirit of God works in us and them, let them ask us the question, why? Why are you doing this? Why are you providing this support for my family and I? Why? And you share them the eternal hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Number three, we can create ripples of love as we find opportunity, as we work with Eli and Lydia with the youth ministry and reach Erremore right here next door. Hundreds of young people who are trying to find their identity, trying to find the meaning of life, we get to love them and be a blessing to them. And every Tuesday morning, we have free hot chocolates right here. For some of you, especially those who are studying, you don't have any lectures on Tuesday. This could be prophetic. I'm speaking right now to some of you who don't have any lectures on Tuesday morning. Come here at 7:30. That's a word for you. And help hot chocolate. You know, I've had the teachers who have already told me that on a Tuesday, the kids come to school happier. You know why? We put special stuff in the chocolates here. No, we don't. Amen, is that right? You know, they are happy. Why? Because they come here and they receive the love of Christ through the youth ministry and all the volunteers with the hot chocolate, and they look forward. And I want to see more ripples of love as we love the Erremore students. Number four, we can create ripples of love by finding ways, listen carefully, to keep our Agape project up and running. Now, unfortunately, due to our lack of volunteers, we have to pause this outreach program for the time being. Maybe you know this, that Monday evening, for the last 6 years or so, we have a team that would go into the cities of Perth and we would love the less fortunate. We would feed them dinner and we would pray with them and get to hear their story and make them feel that they're actually also an image bearer of God. And they are. But unfortunately, with the lack of volunteers, we have to kind of shut that program down. But I'm still holding on in faith, believing that God will do something in this church that we can re-kick this program, reignite the opportunity to love the people who are struggling in the cities of Perth. But I believe that we can find a way. And so if God has given you a desire to really love and pray and feed the less fortunate, can you come and talk to me? Can you come and let me hear what God has been doing in your heart so that we can find ways to really create ripples of love with those who are less fortunate in the city of Perth? Number five, we can create ripples of love this year as we plant a community garden. So I'm in talks with some Sun Lifers here, and we're going to have a community garden right on the face of Oxford Street, where we're going to let the people come and be blessed. Councillors have said, yep, go. Just make sure that they have easy access. And we're going to grow whatever. Durian. Mangosteen. No, I don't know what we're growing. I've asked Lydia Way to help me. But we're going to grow vegetables and whatever. And we're going to say to the people in the community, come. Take what you need. Ripples of love as we bless those who are struggling in this community and beyond. Number six, we have two opportunities this year to create ripples of love as we bless and support our missionaries overseas. So in August, under David's leadership, we're going to send a team to southern Japan, and we're going to work with Samantha and Kelvin, who are in Fukuoka and Kagoshima, and we're going to bless these missionaries, and David's going to help spearhead that team of 8 to 10 people. Why don't you go there and create ripples of love for those outside Australia? In October, under Simon's leadership, we're going to go and bless our missionaries, Kwan and his wife, Hung, in Vietnam. So we're going to have another team that we're going to send and really bless these missionaries that we have known for over a decade. And so we're going to go into Vietnam and really bless these people. A team of 48 to 10 people as well. Opportunities for us to create ripples of love. Number seven, through our connect groups. This year, the last week of every term is a missional week where the connect groups, whether it's young adults or adults, will just love the people around them. It could be free car washes in Leaderville. It could be visiting the aged care facility just down the road. It could be helping the youth camp in July. It could be going and being a team to help out the Agape project that week, or Tiny Treasures, or whatever it is. The whole church in the last week of every term be an opportunity for us to create ripples of love as we love people. No strings attached. Because Peter says, eager to do good, who would harm you? And even if you suffer, you're blessed. But do it with a pure heart. Revere Christ as Lord. And be prepared to give an answer when they ask you of the hope that you have. And do it what? In gentleness and respect. 2025, a year where as a church, we're going to create ripples of love. Ripples of love. You might notice the image there, and also the artwork in the foyer is a reminder and a challenge for us all, young and old. Doesn't matter where we are on our journey of following Jesus, that we're going to be intentional to do good, to be a blessing to those around us. You create a ripple. I create a ripple. We create ripples of love. And we let God do what He needs to do as He works in the hearts of these people and draw these people to Him. Because ultimately, God saves, not us. And He draws people to Him. He will ask, why? Why? Where is your hope? And our hope is in the eternal God, the one who came to live the life that we could not live, to die the death that we ought to die. And through His death and resurrection, ascension and intercession today, we belong to His kingdom. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, we have been transformed. And that's the reason why we do what we do. Ripples of love. That's where we're going. My encouragement to you all is whatever God has been saying to you right now, don't just park it there. Go back and pray and just wrestle with God. Maybe go back and read 1 Peter 3 again. And if there's ideas that we can do as a community, can you let me know? Because I want to hear your ideas. If God is speaking to you about starting off ministries where you can just love people. I think Johan just said to me yesterday he wants to start a barbecue ministry, and that was confirmed by Tao. Barbecue ministry it is. Ripples of steaks. I don't know. But whatever it is, I want to hear it as we begin to love our community. Ripples of love. Amen? Are you ready? And no matter what the cost, no matter the suffering, no matter the hardship or the objection, you're blessed. I'm blessed because we are obedient to the call of God. I'm going to now invite the leaders in this church, their shepherds in this church here. And I'm going to introduce them to you because these are the leaders who will create ripples of love with us, and they'll help us work towards the vision and the mission of our church. And I can't get them all on stage because there's just too many of them. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask them to be upstanding. I'm going to ask them a series of questions, and then I'm going to pray for them and commission them and release them into Christian service. So right now, I'm going to ask the following leaders to be upstanding. You know, if you are on the eldership or the executive leadership team helping me with this church here, can I ask you to be upstanding right now? You see some of the leaders standing up there? If you are leading kids' church, I don't know if they know, but I don't know if they're here or not. Maybe the kids' church leaders, can you come? If that is you, can just maybe stand in the center, because I know they'll probably stand in the back. But these are the beautiful people leading our kids' children. They're our shepherds. They're the key leaders here. If you are leading youth ministry, shepherding our teenagers, can you please be upstanding? You know, if you are leading our shepherding our young adults community, or those in uni and starting work, please, would you be upstanding right now? If you are leading our adults community, you know, your Connect Shepherds, please be upstanding right now. If you're on my staff team, you know, people who work with me on a daily basis, please be upstanding. I'm going to commission you. If you are in leading a ministry, you know, head of ministry, whether it is Tiny Treasures, if you're here, or coffee, or logistics, or design, can you please be upstanding as well? These are the beautiful leaders. Some are on stage as well that will be serving you as shepherds, as leaders this year here. There'll be some, of course, at the PM service as well. I'll commission them. But I have these questions to ask the leaders. Please listen carefully to these questions. These are commissioning questions. As leaders, shepherds of this church, do you joyfully and willingly offer your skills and training, devotion and sensitivity to the ministry of leading? Will you honor those whom you are leading in a faithfulness to Christ to offer your best for the glory of God? Will you undertake your task wholeheartedly, faithfully, and to live to the joy that Christian service brings? If so, please all say, I will by the grace of God. I'm going to pray for you and ask that God will empower you to give you all that you need to lead our church into the vision of 2025. And as I pray and commission these leaders, can I also ask you, fellow Sun Lifers, just to pray for the person near you, maybe extend your hand and also pray and know that your prayer is heard by God, that through God's Holy Spirit, God will empower them, enable them to really follow through the calling of Christian leadership. So can we do that right now? So look around. There are some people standing back at the back, to your side, to your front. Extend your hand. Pray for them. Let's do it right now. Father God, I pray for these leaders that you have called into Christian service. God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, will you enable them? Would you empower them for Christian service? But as we heard, that sometimes in doing good, in leading people, there is hardship, there is opposition, rejection. But Lord, we know we are blessed because we get to identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who did good in spite of the rejection and persecution and harm that was hurled towards him. We are glad that we get to identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we are blessed as we serve you this year. And I pray that you would just empower all these beautiful leaders in moments of doubt where they find it hard. Oh God, would you remind them it's only through your strength, your power, that they could do the work here. So I pray for every leader, God, that they would find intimacy with you, that they'll draw from you, they'll lead from an overflow because they've spent time with you, that they're drawing close to you. They'll never lead out of their own strength, but lead on their knees, seeking you for guidance and wisdom and inspiration. So I pray that upon every leader, God, will you release them? Will you empower them to Christian service? And I pray they'll find joy, God, joy in serving the people that you have placed on their path, that you have entrusted them with, Lord. I pray for my kids' ministry. Oh Lord, that they don't see that the kids is a babysitting program, but no, these are precious young people who also need Jesus at this age, God. In this broken world, they too also need to encounter the power of God's Holy Spirit at this age. So I pray for all my kids' workers. I pray for the youth ministry, Lord, under Eli and Lydia, God, that they would really reach our young people, our teenagers, God, that they'll find their identity in Jesus alone and not the culture of this world. So I pray for wisdom and power upon the youth leaders, God. I pray for Cass and the young adults leaders, God, that you would bless these young adults, God, as they would have just wisdom beyond their age to lead their fellow brothers and sisters into Christian maturity. Lord, would you bless them, Lord? I also pray for the adult community, Lord, all these shepherds, all these connect leaders, God, that you give them joy, God, to meet up with their people, to pray for their people, to love their people, Lord. I pray for all my ministry leaders, every single one of them, God. We need you. We need more of you, God. We don't want to do this without you. Like Moses, we said, God, unless you go before us, unless you go with us, we don't want to do this, Lord. So I pray for every leader here that there's a desire, a yearning to want to have you partner with them in the work of leading people. So, Lord, I pray a prayer of blessing as we commission these leaders right here. Would you bless them? In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Give the leaders a round of applause. Thank you. You may be seated. May be seated. You know, we're going to worship the Lord. And then as I said later on, we're going to have some ice cream. And if you recognize some of the...